The views and opinions expressed in this episode of Pod Culture are of the speaker alone and in no way reflect the show as a whole or Farpoint Media. Pod Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts, and then sent down the podcast feed each week. If you've missed the first half of this show, don't worry. Head back to the website, www.podculture.net, and grab the first half. And now, on with the second half of Pod Culture.
Previously on Pod Culture.
Shortly after recording this segment, Brad exploded.
I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Christina.
And we are back yet again.
Welcome back.
do something different. You know, every once in a while we do a rant. And I got something that's kind of been bugging me since Dragon Con. Actually, since before Dragon Con.
Since like, yeah, a couple months
but
before.
But it's not really a rant per se. More of a discussion. You know, the previous 2 years we had gone to Dragon Con, we had had press credentials. You know, so it makes it easier to go up to the celebrities, get a bumper or ask a couple of questions, you know, for the show or
talk to some of the authors.
Yeah, talk to some of that kind of thing. You know, more people more willing to talk to you when you have the press credentials.
And it's not like we get them free. I mean, it's not like get in free. It's just a ribbon with word press on it.
Right.
It doesn't cost them anything.
This year, we were rejected as that.
Hmm. A lot of podcasts were.
So I emailed back. Most people just say, okay, fine, we didn't get them. Well, of course, me, I'm not one to let things go. I emailed back saying, why? And I'm going to call him out, Star Roberts, I guess media director or whatever, essentially said that podcasts are not media. Okay, if that's the case, then why the hell previous 2 years were we given this? Well,
like, they've changed the whatever.
Turns out she's a bitch. I'm not.
They got into a bit of an email fight. I read some of the things that he sent to her, and I read some of the things that she wrote back, and it was like, wow.
And was I wrong? Was I rude or
rude? Really? No.
No.
And I'm not one to shy away from saying, yeah, you were a jerk.
But my point is this: you know, it since she says podcasts are not real media, they're not real press. I'm like, yeah, we are, you know, more so than you would really think. She goes, oh, and email back, and somewhere I've got the email, is that you mean to me your podcast has the same numbers as, say, USA Today or this, that? Like, no, but we're going to give you better coverage in the sense that anytime mainstream media, no old school media, covers an event like Dragon Con or any convention, they're going to focus on the extremes. They're going to focus on the geek who's been living in his mother's basement and turned it into the bridge of the Enterprise.
Or the girl in the duct tape bikini.
Yeah, stuff like that rather than what really Dragon Con is about. You know, about, you know,
media.
Quasi-normal folk.
TV, movies, art,
right.
Media.
And, you know, quasi-normal folk who go and enjoy that type of stuff. Rather than focus on the extremes. You know, you may not get the numbers. You're going to get better coverage. And it's stuff like podcasts, fanzines, and stuff that built the damn convention into the freaking monster that it is today.
Well, not only that, but it's targeted advertising, basically.
Exactly.
You know, we talk to the target audience of Dragon Con.
The people that read the Wall Street Journal and USA Today, 90% of them are not going to be the type of person to come to Dragon Con.
And I do have to put a disclaimer when I said that she's a bitch. That is my personal opinion and does not reflect the rest of Pod Culture or Farpoint Media. But that is my personal opinion on things. And
it's not that she's a bitch. It's just the way that it was handled was very poor. The way that it came, the way that it was, the way that she put it across to you was a very poor way to put it across to you.
And I did see people that I know have podcasts with press credentials.
Mm-hmm.
One being, and this is where it's going to get a little hairy, you know, podcasts are not real media, right? Okay, well, DragonCon TV is not really connected with DragonCon per se. It is two separate enemies.
Entities.
Whatever.
They're not enemies, they're friends.
But yet, all of them had press credentials. Just saying. And that is internally focused.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even an external focusing. DragonCon TV all goes around inside the convention, which is not a reflection upon Brian or Amy.
No,
his
we
crew.
Love
those
them.
Are,
oh
those
my
are
God,
cool
they're
as hell.
Geniuses.
And some of the stuff is just amazing.
Check
what
out DragonConTV.com. They're right.
You know, stick to your standards.
Right.
You know, if you're going to say this is the case, make it the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for everybody.
Well, the fact is, the internet with podcasts and blogs and everything is the new media.
It is.
It's accepted. This is the new media. Television, newspapers, they're losing their viewers, they're losing their readers. People are getting their stuff from the internet. It is the new media. So they're really taking a step backwards by now, after giving press ribbons and credentials to podcast in the past, to turn around now and say all of a sudden this isn't real media. Well, no, this is the new media. This is the cutting edge. This is what your audience is listening to.
Right.
This is what your audience is watching. You know, the people that are into this sort of thing, this
right.
is where they're getting their news and entertainment.
And it's not the case where we expect, it's not that they have to hand a press ribbon to everybody that walks through the door. It's not like it's a totally blanket thing. You should still have to apply for it. You should still have a valid show in order to, you know, get one. It shouldn't be free reign for anybody to get a press badge.
Right.
But you should not exclude podcasts.
And it wasn't like we were asking for admission to the press, to the con, just the ribbons.
It cost him, what, 3 cents?
If that. And, you know, what I'm saying is she made a point that, well, you don't need those to do this. You know, everyone has equal. No. Everyone does not have equal access to that.
No.
There were, I can count several times over the past, you know, in 06 when we went, and last year in 07, where we go into a panel, and so that it was at capacity. Well, then they happen to see our press credentials. Son of a gun, there's enough space to get in. Stuff where we go up to celebrity to get a bumper or something like that, where at
or
first
an interview or
an interview or something like that, where they say, no, we can't do that, and then happen to notice that we have press credentials, and say, oh yeah, yes, not a problem. It maybe in theory that doesn't hold any weight, but yeah, it does make a difference.
Just the way people treated us this year as compared to the past 2 years, I did notice a difference in accessibility. I did notice a difference in treatment. And it's not that we're asking to be treated specially. We're just asking a little bit of extra, you know, a few seconds of somebody's time that we didn't get this year because, you know.
Well, it's like the Firefly panel, for example. We go in and I don't know how they were seating, what random thing they were sending people in. We went in with all the accessibility stuff because Christina had her scooter. And instead of being up towards the front, like normally we were about halfway back in the room.
And not just that, the guy holding the microphone for the questions
sat
was
his
right
fat-headed ass down right in front of us.
No, not even in front of us, in front of the guy in front of us who was in a wheelchair. It's like, can't see. It's not like he could stand up and move. He was in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty poorly done. But, I mean, that aside, it's like we're not asking to sit in the front. We're not asking to get to the head of the line. We just want the ability to do what we do.
So I guess my question to the listeners, and I guess Glenn, since he wasn't involved in all of this exchange.
To the turmoil.
is a podcast, especially when it's been established. You know, we're not a brand new show. Mm-mm. I could see our first year where we go to DragCon September, we'd had, maybe dozen, two dozen shows at that point. No, you're not established enough. That I can see.
Mm-hmm.
117 episodes later.
In a media network.
And a part of Farpoint Media.
The name kind of says it all. Media. Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. So I guess my question is a podcast true press? Is it real press? Granted, I think so. Small press, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our numbers may range between 500 to 1,000 on an episode. Sometimes more, sometimes a little less. Just depends on what we happen to be geeking about. But you compare that to, let's see, the number of people that listen out of that 500 to 1,000 that would be interested in DragCon versus the 10,000 maybe circulation for, say, a local paper or a USA Today or something like that. You're probably going to get a better, like I say, return on investment, but a
better percentage of attendance out of our audience than you would a mainstream newspaper who would put Dragon Con on the second to last page,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And focus on the freaks.
And focus on the freaks and the reasons people don't want to go. You know, the reasons people stay away from
right. Instead of celebrating it,
right.
they would mock more than likely mock it.
Right. Yeah.
And that's happened. That's always been the case, you know.
And Glenn touched on it, too. I think, if anything else, podcasts and the internet as a whole reach more people than people with newspapers.
We have a definitely.
I mean, I can't tell you the last time I've sat down to watch. You know, okay, I'm a bad example because I don't have a lot of time at work to listen to podcasts. But like Brad, who I can't tell you the last time I saw him read a newspaper or to sit down and read, you know, to watch the news. But he's got 8 hours a day to listen to podcasts.
Right.
Closer to about six.
No, but
yeah.
I mean, like, you know, trip there, trip home. You know, you have all day to listen to stuff. I think you reach more people on the internet
mm-hmm.
nowadays anyway than you can with traditional media.
Right. Yeah, traditional media is definitely on the decline. I mean, people, newspapers are consolidating and they're mm-hmm. folding, you know, and the TV networks are wondering how they're going to hang on to their viewership because it's all so fragmented.
And but for something like Dragon Con, it's such a niche. And for how they're trying so hard to make it a mainstream media convention and not just sci-fi geeks who live in their mother's basements. You would think that they'd want to reach as many people as they could.
If attitude like that keeps up, you know, I can see, okay, you want to have more exposure to mainstream media. You want to make DragonCon more mainstream. I can see the logic behind it, but it is flawed. You focus like that, you continuously reject the people who are
paying to
say,
come.
I'm not going to say, you know, preaching the gospel of DragonCon to their listeners. You keep doing it, you keep offending these people, then it's going to turn around and bite you in the ass.
Here's my thing, too. They gave podcasting their own track. If they didn't see any validity or you know, structure to the media, why do we have why did they give them a whole track if they don't care what we think?
Well, in all fairness, in that respect, that's no different than a Whedon track or
media,
a Star Trek track.
Movies, television. Movies and television.
Well, I could see startup costs to get into podcasting or blogging or whatever can be very little.
Right.
You know, so it's a field where a lot of people could easily get in, and they may have been just inundated with requests for press passes. It may be getting out of hand, and they feel that they can't just give them to everybody.
Then you got a vet,
exactly.
And
if you have
people that have been there 2 years before that have been approved, it should be, for the most part, a formality.
And then say that. Then say, look, we have so many, we had to pick and choose.
Right.
And say that. Don't say it's not a valid media.
Right.
Then that's where I think she went wrong, is the way.
Right.
Yeah, I think most people, you know, if they get into it, and they might do an episode or two, and then it'll fall apart, and they won't continue
Stargate
on.
Stargate Louisville.
And then the people that really stick with it and really go out there and build an audience and keep at it, you know?
Gary from Jacksonville said, you know, we are, I mean.
Yeah,
not,
we went out to dinner with a lot of the Farpoint folk.
Yeah, not that we're special, but yes, we are. Damn it, we're awesome. But a show that runs almost 3 years is not exactly heard of. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a lot of people that put out consistent episodes for as long as we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we might not have great numbers, but we're consistent and long running, and
we have a solid audience.
We have a solid audience.
And we have at least one groupie.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yeah, Andy. Hi, love you, buddy.
We love you.
But it's
frustrating.
You know, yeah, I know we're not we're not going to break a story as important as, say, Watergate or anything by any means. But it was like last year when we went up to talk, to get James Marsters' autograph, and we're able to sit there and talk to him for, gosh, 5-10 minutes, whatever it was.
About Torchwood that hadn't even come out yet.
Right. And we're able, to come back and discuss, hey, this character's going to be like Spike. It's going to be the best stuff of Spike. And get that little scoop, or something like that. Then, yeah, it
may not be a mass media, but it's definitely mainstream. And, granted, we're not the biggest show with the most listenership.
Yeah,
but
we're not Slice,
but if they say that about us as podcasters, then by default, they're talking about podcasting in general. And I think that's just, it was too big a statement to make just to say, look, we don't have room for you. I mean, all they have to do is say, look, there were too many, and that's it. But they're, don't tell us it's not a valid media.
Yeah, what did you say? Well, that's what I was told. I said, okay, then give me the name of the person who told you that. Let me talk to them. Wouldn't do anything. No, nothing. So, I guess it kind of turned into a rant of sorts.
No, I'd like to know what other people think.
Right. Is podcasting real media? Is it a legitimate news source? Or not news source, but
entertainment source.
Infotainment. We're infotainment.
Yeah.
Don't even start on the infotainment stuff.
Oh, it's okay. Hi,
yeah.
Mark.
Yeah. No, it
was frustrating to hear such a blanket statement like that. It's like, wait a minute. No.
Again, especially past prior 2 years. It's like your shtick with being a guest. You've been there before.
Right, yeah.
You've published work.
Yeah. Well, when that happened, they said, you missed the deadline, and we can't do it.
And that was a fair answer.
And that was a fair answer. Although my point was, I'm not asking for a table.
Right.
True. I didn't.
What does it mean?
I didn't say I wanted to be a guest early because I didn't know I could make it, and I didn't want to not show up if I agreed to be a guest. So I waited till I knew I was going, and then I missed the deadline, and it was a shame because I couldn't go hang out with my buddies in the green room or whatever,
Yeah.
But no big deal. I could have, if I could have made it to the show this year, then I could have applied to be a guest on time and yes. Hopefully would have.
It's not like they said, we don't want you here.
Yeah. But it did hurt at the time because I was going anyway.
Right.
And I had such good experiences with Dragon Con in the past. Early on, way back, 10 years ago or so, when I was first a guest there, it was just amazing how good they were to their guests. You were royalty, whether anybody had ever heard of you or not. Anyway, I wasn't real well known, but they really treated you like something special there, and I don't think it's really been that way.
I don't know if they had a upper management change or somebody just had a stick stuck where the sun doesn't shine. But there was a lot of just weird changes this year. One thing that really got me, and I didn't really understand why they did this, the the registration for accessibility, the handicap guest, was in the main registration room.
Which was hard to get to, yeah, which defeats the purpose.
Yeah, because you kind of had a... Again, if you haven't been at Dragon Con, it's kind of hard to visualize. But if you go into the main hotel, the Hyatt, and go to the registration room,
it's
from
massive.
Inside the hotel, you're actually at the exit of the registration room. Well, you can't really get in through the line with accessibility from the outside if you've got mobility issues.
The line was around the block, two blocks down.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no
way.
So
they said, you know, you do this. So you had to kind of go in and do this little funky dog leg that, you know, it took about 10 minutes to do her on the scooter because it was such tight turns.
I can't imagine somebody on crutches or somebody, you know, with a cane having to navigate this area.
And the previous year, it had been out in...
it was in the lobby.
Yeah, it was kind of
right
like
out
in the lobby
in the main area.
I think it was leveled down where the musicians and stuff are. It was outside where there's more room around.
And the accessibility people themselves are wonderful.
Yeah, that was
great. I mean, you show up at the accessibility thing, they have their laptops, they look you up, they say, oh, yeah, Miss Carr, you're set for wheelchair seating. Yeah. And they go and get your ID badges for you and come back with them. I mean, they are wonderful people, but just how the con had them set up was very messy.
And might I say the badges this year suck?
Well, they looked pretty.
They looked pretty, but they were flimsy. Hmm. You know, normally they're kind of more of a harder type plastic badge, but this year they were like laminated paper almost.
They had holograms on them too, like so you couldn't fake one.
Yeah,
it was neat though. I mean, they look cool.
But it
but I think they got really big and started to make cuts, and it just sucked.
Having
to add that fourth hotel in says it all. I mean, they're growing leaps and bounds. And well, we had a great time, but these, you know, few things kind of put a kink in the armor.
I've always loved, I don't want to turn this into a Dragon Con bitch session, but I've always loved Dragon Con.
Uh-huh.
But it had gotten to the point that it was so crowded, it was hard to enjoy it. And then you get the feeling that there's just a lot of local people and yahoos showing up that are there just to party and
day
get drunk
people.
And try to get laid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That
the day pass people.
That don't really know anything about what it's all about at all. Or maybe they're just there to see a concert that night or something. They're just going to go out and, you know, and to me, I like to get away from the mundanes. And, of course, most of these people aren't mundanes. A lot of them are, you know,
there's a very
punks
different kind of geek.
Extreme, yeah.
The extremes of different things. And that's fine, you know. But it, for me, it's become a very different convention because of all the other fringes that have been brought in that, they fill the aisles. But, you know, are they really there to see the celebrities? Are they really there to buy stuff from the dealers?
Enjoy the
or are
point
they just
of the
there?
Con to begin with.
Yeah, or are they just there to get drunk?
Yeah, there are people that are there for exactly that. And never do go to the Walk of Fame. Never do go to the dealer's room. You know, for the most of it's like the music. You know, the music fan, they stay in that little corner net where they stay. Or
right
the gaming
in front of
program.
The escalators.
Yeah,
which is why we're not at the Hyatt this year.
No, it's
and,
too much.
And then I can't stop and take a picture because there's too many people.
Yeah, no flash, no photography in this area. Bullshit. Yeah.
They had photography areas this year, though. They had banners up, that Dragon Con like backdrop screens.
Oh, good.
That
good.
They had people in costumes stopping at so you could take pictures.
But people still.
Well, yeah.
Just stop right in the middle of the
right
hallway.
Right in front of the
escalators. Well, because there's so many people there, if you don't take a picture when you see that person in
you're
costume,
never gonna see
you may
again.
Never see him again.
Right.
Because it's so crowded.
Like,
so
Bumblebee
you feel
was
like
in this huge
to.
Costume, and we only saw him once.
Yeah.
Right.
Briefly at that.
I'm sure it was very hot and very heavy, and he couldn't wear it long anyway.
Right.
And then when you've got four hotels that he could possibly be in,
right.
Your chances of bumping into him are very slim.
Right.
Yeah. But my coming back is... For those listeners that did go, and I know we have a fair number of them that did go.
Hi.
What was your experience? And do you think that changes that have been made are for the better? Do you think that, again, podcast, of course, you know, we're a little bit prejudiced in that respect. You know, is podcast a real news outlet or real media? What do you guys think? Let us know. You know, you can email any of us, Brad, Glenn, or Christina, Glenn with two N's, at podculture.net. Or, you know, there's always the forums.
Or call us. Leave a voicemail.
Yeah, 206-338-3POD.
If you wish to remain anonymous, that's cool, too.
And yeah, yep.
Or we don't have to read your... We're not going to read your email out loud unless you want us to.
Or if you don't want it printed, say, do not...
Right, do not read.
Yeah, do not read on air. Otherwise, by default, probably will. Or, again, there's comments on the website, which, you know, I do let most of the anonymous comments stay on the website.
Sad but true.
Sad but true. Watch it. You'll curdle milk.
Oh, sorry.
But, yeah, what do you guys think? Let us know. And am I just being stupid about this? Should I let it roll off my back? Or do we have a right to be a little miffed?
I think yes and yes. I think you should. I think you should let it roll off your back. But I think you have a right to be miffed.
So, tell you what, let's get into some more geeking.
Yeah, geeking.
And we will be back with more pod culture right after this. Let us know what you think. Yep, there goes some milk.
The actual beginning, though, it's not really the beginning, but the actual flashpoint was I remember very clearly. I remember picking up a paper and actually finding a particular paper was left blank. Glorious. Nothing to read, so I scribbled on it. Like, in a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit.
The complaint often made against them is that they mix what some people call the realistic and the fantastic. I'd rather fall back on an older critical terminology and say that they mix the probable and the marvelous.
In 1939, the greatest authors of the 20th century gathered every Tuesday to discuss their latest writing projects. Early works of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings and C.S. Lewis's Out of the Silent Planet were first read at England's meetings. The group has since disbanded, but the spirit lives on. Fast forward to 2008 and join hosts Steve Saylor and Shane Shannon as they upgrade the spirit of Inklings to version 2.0. This podcast is the place on the web where creative minds can gather and discuss the creative arts. Whether you're an author, a painter, a musician, doesn't matter. This show, we hope, will inspire, showcase, and create awesome works to share on these internet tubes we call home. Inklings 2.0. Subscribe today at inklings20.com.
You know, we may have picked up a lot of stuff at Dragon Con, but the geeking doesn't quite end there. There's stuff we had from even before we went to Dragon Con that's nothing to do with the con whatsoever.
Well, sort of.
Sort of, kind of, I guess.
Some of it's a little bit related.
So this is our non-con geek and tell.
The non-con.
Oh, God, that's right, the non-con.
I did not go to that. I'm sorry, I didn't.
Oh, it was bad.
But I always tend to enjoy the misadventures
and that
a little
was
more
a
than I do the actual adventures.
So there's not a whole lot of non-Dragon Con related stuff, but we do have a few things.
First, and two of those, I'm like, we bought those the week before Dragon Con. Why?
Yeah, you know. First thing I have is a DVD set, Sapphire and Steel, British sci-fi type series.
Hmm, cool.
And
Joanna Lumley.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I was listening to him talk about it on the British Invaders podcast.
Hi, guys.
Very good show. If you're into Brit sci-fi or just genre TV in general, give it a listen. Great stuff. But I heard them talking about it, and I've heard a lot of people say that it had influenced in a lot of ways some other stuff. So I picked it up, and they had it at Book and Music, of course, on Barstown Road.
Dun,
and finally got marked it down to something affordable.
Yeah, really.
Because Brit TV, it's
stupid British seasons.
But that had been sitting there, so they finally dropped it down to an affordable price, so I picked it up. We haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I am looking forward to it. So maybe this can fill a little bit of the Doctor Who void this
like
year.
We don't have 280 gig of Doctor Who to fill
that's
in the void
true
with.
Too. That's true. Don't know how good a quality that is.
I don't care.
Joanna Lumley, she was Purdy, right? On the New Avengers?
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. And she was Patsy on Absolutely Fabulous.
Okay.
I had a brain fart there. Some intellectual hiccup. Sorry about that.
And Sting with the DVD trend a little bit.
And the stuff that I like trend.
Yes. Witchblade, the complete series.
Yay.
Cool. With apparently the chick who can't hold her liquor, Yancy Butler.
We saw her at Dragon Con, but I didn't get her autograph.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
I know. I could have got it from my mom, too, but...
We could have took the DVD set.
Nah, it's okay.
So, yeah, we picked it up on sale at Best Buy. I think we've watched the pilot and one other one, maybe, or something.
I loved it.
Not bad. Very different than the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty much in name only and in the fact that she's a police detective.
I saw a lot of the episodes when it was on TV, and I'd like to pick up the set.
It's worth picking up.
Wait until maybe it'll be one of those deals where they'll sell a lot cheaper. Because remember,
I paid
a lot for my Briscoe County, and then you went and
picked
found
it up like 30 bucks.
Yeah, 30 bucks when I paid like 65 or something.
I tried to talk him out of the Witchblade, but either I was going to buy it or he was going to buy it for me, which six of one, half a dozen of the other. Mm-hmm. So I used my Best Buy card and got points and used my...
Best Buy credit card.
Best Buy
card. Got even more points.
Coupon thingies.
And oh, your rewards on certificates, yeah.
Well, if you see it on sale cheap, let me know. Okay. Sometime in the future.
Deep discount's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love them.
And the last DVD out of this batch, and is a little talk about of extremes, season one of Transformers Animated. Mm. It's definitely geared towards, of course, it's a cartoon geared towards kids, but it's a fun bit of nostalgia. You know, I've had fun with it.
I do love how the theme song is very reminiscent, very 80s power ballad, very much like the original theme song.
It is the original theme song, but then, you know, different arrangement to it.
But, you know, if you think about how much time has gone by, which I try not to, you think they would have totally revamped it completely, but it's very, very similar.
Even the opening with some of the character shots and the movement that they do.
How they do that sliding. Yeah, I love that.
Is in there. It's
cool. Well, they've got to know that a big part of their fan base are the original Gen 1.
Well, it's people who grew up with Generation 1. Their kids are watching Transformers Animated now. It's fun. I picked it up. I watched probably about a third of the season, and it's...
He was watching those while I was packing for Dragon Con.
It beats the hell out of Transformers Energon or whatever the last...
Yeah.
Stupid shit that they had was the last one with cars that was actually cars and stuff, but it was still horrible. This actually pulls it off.
It's cute, yeah. It's got a good sense of humor to it.
Then I have a whole slew of books, and I guess you could make the argument that these are sort of Dragon Con related. I don't really think so. Well, I wouldn't really count as Dragon Con. I would have got them anyway, even if I wasn't going to Dragon Con. First thing I have, actually, first two things I have was a couple of books from podcasting authors. Actually, they're all books from podcasting authors. Digital Magic by Philippa Ballantyne. It's a sequel to her book, Chasing the Bard, which in the audio drama, I get to do a voice in. That was quite
neat.
And
she's just so pretty.
Yeah. So the sequel of that came out on August the 25th. Order my copy. Haven't had a chance to read it yet, but it's on my ever-growing pile of stuff.
She and Toss has had the longest flight home, I think.
Yeah, I think she beat him.
I don't know, though. He had a long layover.
Then T. Morris's Billabub Battings and Case of the Pitcher's Pendant, which is a sequel to one of his novels. Really, I enjoyed the hell out of the drama, audio drama of the first one. Looking forward to reading the sequel. And then... one that you're going to have to read, because this might be up your alley. It's Mer Lafferty's Playing for Keeps. I think you've heard me talk about it before. But it's all like superhero-based type stuff. So I think you definitely need to read this one. It's good. But she had it self-published before, and then it was picked up by Swarm Press. So she got a publishing deal out of it, and I bought the soft cover and took it to Dragon Con to get it signed. Didn't end up getting it signed, but Andy, a.k.a. Freehold South.
A.k.a. number one groupie.
Yeah. I had wanted to get a copy, so I just gave him mine. So I have the hard copy from when it was self-published, and then gave him my trade paperback that I had ordered a short while ago.
Groupie
just came out.
Capital G.
But yeah, it's really good, and I think you get a kick out of it. It's kind of neat. What if the heroes really aren't as heroic as they are? That kind of thing.
So. What if they like to sit on their couches and watch television?
Not quite that, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No,
that,
no. Uh-uh. You keep doing that, I'm going to smack you.
What?
Because you quote things and get me all excited, but then I remember that you hate them.
Mm-hmm. I was the perils of being a geek.
You're not allowed to quote things that you hate so vehemently.
No,
like, as
wait a minute. I need a geek. Why? What geek etiquette says that you can't do that?
It's not fair, though.
Why?
You can't claim that you're into it so well that
you can quote it.
No,
I never claimed that I was into it. I'm quoting it.
You've never even seen that sketch. You've only heard me do it.
Actually, no, I have, because you made me watch it.
I made you watch the one with Anthony Stewart Head, Little Britain.
Yeah, and that sketch was on there. Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm not going to argue with you because I can't argue with you because you won't let anybody else win ever.
I can edit.
But, yeah, I know. But yeah, uh-huh. He keeps doing that.
I still want to know how. Why? Anytime I see
quoting Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves in the elevator at the hotel. I'm like, wait a minute. No, you hate that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quote movies that I hate.
I've got it on Laserdisc.
Rock on.
What don't you have?
You know what? That's one format I don't have it in. I'm jealous.
You need to get a
just to have
disc.
It. Yeah. Because
I think they have a used Laserdisc player for sale.
No,
at that
I wouldn't need
music.
To play it. I would just need to have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just for the big artwork, if nothing
yeah,
else.
Yeah, I don't need to play it. I just need to say that I have every available medium.
Okay. All right, I'm going to put it out to the listener. What violation to get? What geek rule says that you can't do that?
But who else quotes things that they hate?
Who else has a Swiss cheese brain like what I have that shit just sticks in there?
Most of the people that listen to the show.
Okay.
Okay, so listen.
What's wrong with saying a line from a movie you don't really care for?
Oh, no. There's a difference between not really care for, and then every time somebody brings it up, he makes gagging face and carries on about how much he hates it. There's a difference between don't really care for, like, okay.
I like
this.
It's giving us content.
I don't really care for a lot of movies, but there are very few movies that I hate. I don't go quoting, you know, Something About Mary. I hated that movie. I don't quote that movie.
Okay, because that was, it didn't really have any quotable lines. Some movies, they may be crap movies.
Napoleon Dynamite.
But they have
hated it. Plethora of quotable lines. Don't say a single one.
Okay. Listeners, sound off. Leave a comment on the website on the episode. Because I, to this day, you know, Christmas Story.
You hate it with a fiery passion.
That movie just needs to die.
Yeah, see, no.
But you've seen Christmas Story
A billion times, from working
at a video store when it runs on a loop 24/7.
Right.
Shit sticks in your brain.
You're allowed to hate it.
So I can't quote it?
It just, you know what?
I practically have that entire freaking movie memorized.
You would think you would spend the rest of your life trying never to think about it again.
You can't help it. It's been so much exposure, it's kind of like in the DNA now.
I'm rolling my eyes at you.
Yeah.
What else did you buy?
I think that kind of wraps up for the non-con stuff.
Non-con.
Yeah.
On the books, since we were talking about books.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
That's quite all right.
We've deviated.
I
picked up a book the other day. It was James Rollins.
Okay.
The Judas Strain.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. Carly read it first, loved it. Had me go buy the sequel, which just came out, which I can't remember the name of. But I've started reading. I'm only like two chapters in, but it's been really good. And
What's it about?
Well, I was at Best Buy the other day, and I walked past their books. They don't have many books, but by the checkout, they had a big hardback of the new Indiana Jones movie, the novel adaptation of the movie, and it was by James Rollins.
Oh, cool.
So apparently they liked him. They got into
Kingdom of the Crystal Meth?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the Judas Strain's really pretty cool because it goes back in history, so it's got flashbacks, and it's got kind of a Da Vinci Code kind of feel with religious stuff and secret writings and things like that. And then it's got like a kind of like an Andromeda strain kind of, you know, crazy disease going to wipe out the planet kind of stuff to it, too. And it's got kind of a Jack Ryan kind of character that's the lead character, you know. That's, so, you know, you got all the spy stuff and the religious stuff and the medical stuff. It's got everything, but it's written really well to where that all fits in.
Cool.
And, so it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
And I'm only two chapters in.
Well, I've got another book to add to your pile then.
Yeah.
So definitely got to check out Playing for Keeps. Okay. Real, I think you'd get a kick out of it.
I didn't buy any books, but I have a new set of CDs. Well, not new. I had them on cassette, and now I have them on CD. It's kind of like audio meditation, sleep aid,
hippie
creativity
CDs.
Aid. Not hippie. It's very scientific. It's not hippie. Jeffrey Thompson, Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, he has a thing where if you can, all of your states of consciousness are on a frequency, a sound wave. And if you can emulate those from the outside, you can induce your brain into whatever state you want it to be in. If you want to be sleeping deeper, if you want to be a little more awake at work, if you want to be a little more in tune with your creative side, there's a certain note, a certain frequency. And I love them. I sleep like a rock.
Mm,
they're wonderful.
Really?
But he has them for just about everything. Don't you make a face. He has them for just about everything.
What are you getting on Glenn for?
It's not really... Glenn may be the conspiracy theorist, but he's not the skeptic. There's a difference.
Mm, okay.
There's a difference. But, yeah, I love them. I had the cassette tapes for a long time, and I kind of wore them out, so it was time to buy new CDs. It's called the Brainwave Suite. It has Alpha, Delta, Theta, and Beta? No, that can be right. There's four different CDs.
Gotta watch out for those gamma waves.
My brain isn't working. But
oh, it's gamma rays. Never mind.
Yeah. But I love them. I think they work really well.
It was.
They're good if you can't sleep. They're really good if you can't sleep.
And so is a shot of whiskey and a...
and them both together are just fantastic. And you don't wake up feeling groggy and weird like you do with stuff.
Yeah, it works for you.
I like it.
And a long time ago, I had an audio tape that was subliminal tape, and it was like a self-hypnosis thing, you know, to help put you to sleep and, you know, organize your stuff while you're asleep and stuff. And there was a big warning, you know, don't listen to this in the car.
Exactly. It's on those CDs as well. Don't listen while you're driving.
Yeah.
Like, I slept on the bus for 2 hours that one day. I was on the way home when I started to play the relaxation one, not realizing that on your iPod, they're just going to flow right in, one right into the other. Well, the relaxation one flowed right into the sleep one, and I was asleep for about 2 hours on the bus. Which was okay, because it made a 2 hour long bus ride a lot nicer.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Speaking of conspiracies, I always thought, you know, this hypnosis tape, you know, I hear the first half all the time. I never hear the second half.
Right.
Who
How
knows
do you know?
What they're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Exactly.
Play it backwards.
Especially the subliminal tape where you don't hear anything
exactly.
but like waves crashing or whatever, but it's supposed to have all the same stuff as the other one.
It's funny, though. The sleep one is supposed to be relaxing, but the first sounds that you hear, the first set that I had, I don't think the sleep one is the same because I don't remember like the beach wavy sounds on my first set of sleep things, because that would not relax me. That does not, the ocean does not relax me in any way, shape, or form. And then like the waves start to get louder, and I'm
she
like, okay, this
fear
is
of water.
This is not relaxing to me. Like, I'm stressing out, but then it starts to get better. But it's just funny. It's like, okay, how is this relaxing?
But yet she liked watching Titanic.
I had to watch the last half
Poseidon
hour of it through
Adventure.
My fingers. Of Titanic, I had to watch the last half hour through my fingers when they're all underwater. Sorry, don't you make a face at me. You could not stand on the top of the Empire State Building with me because you were afraid of heights. So we're even.
I can swim. I can't fly.
Either will kill you.
Not if you know how to swim. Not if you have a bunch of drunk uncles that throw your ass off a pier and say, swim.
That's just cruel. Yeah.
Well, quickest way to learn.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know what? I'm landlocked now. I don't even have to worry about it.
It's true.
All right. Anything else, folks? I think we've drugged
this. We tried
this.
To save our pennies before DragonCon.
We try. Well, in all fairness, though, that had built up a little bit over
a
while.
Oh, yeah. So. Definitely.
All right. Let's take a break, and we will be back with more geek-filled adventure right after this.
Alpha Waves. That's what the fourth one was. Okay, sorry.
If you enjoy this quality program from Farpoint Media, please be generous and donate. Your donations help keep shows like this and others going. Go to the website of your favorite show and click the donate button. Be generous. These shows are supported by listeners like you.
Hey, this is Brian Richardson from What the Cast, and you're listening to Pod Culture, the best thing to happen to an iPod since Steve Jobs bought a turtleneck.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
All right. One thing that we don't get a chance to do often on Pod Culture, but when we do, it's real special.
We got a prezi. We got a prezi.
Excuse me.
In the P.O. box.
Need to steal
Everybody
it.
Else has a song. We don't have a song. Like, Blues has a song.
Okay, what are you musicians?
Don and Drew have a song.
P.O. box jingle
theme.
We got a prezi.
But we do have a couple of things. One that we has been sitting here a while, and we
apologize.
Yeah, we apologize for not getting to
this. Actually,
sooner.
I thought that was my autograph, so I never even picked it up. I thought that's what my autograph came in, so I didn't even look closely enough at it to see what it was.
It is from our, we got this a while back, and we just haven't recorded a mail segment for a while. From the infamous Stuart Duncan.
We love you, Stu. We miss
you. Artist extraordinaire, which we haven't heard from in a while.
How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
He probably thinks we forgot about him. We didn't mention his stuff.
We haven't. We're just really bad at stuff sometimes.
I ask about you all the time. I say, Brad, have you heard from Stuart?
Yep. We got, it was a mixed bag of goodies.
Goodies. There's a poster or something in there, too.
The Ultimate SF and Fantasy Trivia Book, Volume 2.
Ooh.
And, of course, Christine is all about trivia.
I like, what, are you saying I'm a storehouse of useless knowledge?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I pretty am. Star
Wars Pocket Model Trading Card Game, which is, I think I had Transformer once where you had, like, the Transformers trading card game where you kind of build the little robots out of the hard plastic cards. Kind of cool. Looks like this is an X-Wing. And, a TIE Fighter on there, too. Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And what else do we have here? We have Doctor Who magnets. More
Yay!
Doctor Who magnets. Fridge magnets. Of course, one of the Doctor and his infamous red trainers, which we have. Evo during the podcast fair was said, y'all are disgusting.
We were matching our red trainers.
Yeah, we both had the jeans on and the red Chuck Taylors.
I was wearing them for luck, even though I already knew you won. I was wearing them for luck.
Yeah. But they're
easy for you to say.
Exactly. Fridge magnets. So it's got the Doctor Who logo, one of David Tennant, a Centauran, an Ood, Martha, and then the Doctor and some weird...
Oh, this trivia book is awesome.
Weird redheaded lady that just needs to die in a fire.
Stop saying that!
The character...
He's terrible.
I cannot stand Donna.
The character has not died in a fire, nor will she.
She needs to die in a fire.
Well, sorry.
And then regenerate so she can die in a fire again.
Sorry.
What else do we have here? Ooh, we got posters and stuff. What do we got here? Ooh, hey, look. Look who it is, dear.
Who is it? Oh, it's John Crichton and Winona.
Yeah. Now, when you say Crichton, this is what I think with Crichton.
See, now, Crichton. As soon as he said Crichton the first time, I'm thinking Mechanoid.
Yeah, yeah.
And?
Who was on the other side of John Crichton?
It was Jennifer Garner from Daredevil.
Hey.
Or Elektra. Which,
my friend went to school with her. Oh, look at that. Primeval.
And a Primeval poster.
Oh, isn't that awesome? Ooh, the old and the future. That's awesome. And there's Connor. I love Connor. He's my favorite.
Yeah, you mean Corey?
Yeah, he dresses like the Corys.
And then it's some very kind of shiny poster. Like a Mylar poster.
Ooh, that's cool.
That's Cylon. Yeah, very cool.
I like that.
And see, on the other side that where it's even more shiny, which is blank, they should have done one of the old ones. Because then it would look like a chrome toaster.
Yeah.
A chrome toaster.
I like the Cylons in the new series, but I just like the design of the other one better, man. Mm-hmm.
I like on the Primeval poster how it's got the old beast and then the future beast.
And there is a letter.
Which Glenn has to watch that show.
Hey, guys. I was going to mail this lot out in time for last Christmas. I guess I missed that particular deadline.
Well, you're in time for this Christmas.
But at least this is sooner than next Christmas.
Oh, sure.
Hope you enjoy the various pieces of SFX-related free giftery. Thank you, Stuart.
I love it.
We really appreciate it, man. Because we always need geeky stuff around here.
This trivia book is fantastic.
And now that we have a magic fridge, we can put fridge magnets on there.
Supervillain names, what their moms call them. The Abomination.
And we had another thing show up in the P.O. box.
Fuzzies! We got a
present. Mr. Mark from Kansas.
Yay! Mark Jayhawk.
Mr. Jayhawk. We got DVDs. I always like because he sends us good DVDs.
Look at that.
Doctor Who, The Infinite Quest.
Awesome!
Feature-length animation starring David Tennant and Freema Agyeman.
And Anthony Stewart Head.
He does a voice in there, you're right.
Oh, really? An animation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of like a webisode type thing that they did.
We've seen little bits like and little, pieces, but like, never the
little
whole
bits
thing.
Of it. And the bits that I have downloaded before really wouldn't transcode right. I couldn't get them to play right streaming from the PC to the Xbox.
All I know is that Anthony Stewart Head plays a baddie, and that's always good.
And they are that's in PAL, cool. Which works will be just fine because we have a machine that can play PAL.
Dear.
Yes.
What kind of thing can we not play? We could play pretty much anything
on one of your wax various cylinders.
There you go. Okay,
old
that's fair.
1-inch magnetic reel-reel tapes.
No, I think Dad has one.
We could rig something up, yeah.
Right, sure. And then, because it's very appropriate that he sent us this because he's a dude that got us hooked on the series in the first place.
Yeah. Jahal,
the complete extraordinary second series of Primeval.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
Yeah, which actually I think is going to be showing on BBC America.
I need to get the action figures. Oh, rock on.
I think, it's showing up maybe sci-fi. I know it's supposed to show up like this fall someday.
First season
is supposed to show up at some point. Maybe playing now. We get it, but we never watch it because we have already watched all the stuff that we would want to watch on it.
Yay! It's so good.
Very, very cool. And again, it leaves you on a son of a...
God damn it! The wrath that would have incurred if there was not a second season, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I was getting on a plane.
Yeah, she was going to drop another nuke on Kansas,
Mark's
weren't you?
Mark's going to get a smack. I'm going to get off the plane, smack, and get right back in the plane.
Not say a word.
Nope.
Hey, Mark. No. Yeah.
Whack.
Right back on the plane. but it's
Thank
a good
so
series.
Thank you so much. Yes.
And I like how it is because the first season was 6 episodes. Second season was, I believe, 7 episodes.
Uh-huh.
Third season series, excuse me, use the right terminology here. I believe it's going to be 10 episodes, so it's kind of growing each time.
Cool.
You know, I guess as it becomes more popular, they
a little
get more money.
A little bit more budget with all that.
They
CGI.
Already have some of the CGI already built up, so it saves money.
There you go.
Because it is an extremely CGI intensive show. But it's really cool, and you need to check it out, dude.
Yeah,
you
need I need to. Check to. It out. I do.
See if we can work some of that and bring me some blanks, and we'll work on things for you there. All right. Do we have anything else? I'm sure we have. Have you guys gotten any emails?
Mm-mm. Not lately.
We probably have, but
I've got a lot of people following me on Twitter now.
Yeah, you have had a lot of traffic show up on Twitter here late, haven't you? Of course, they find a geek girl, so it's all the geek boys going.
Cultures girl. Actually, no, it's about half and half.
So
it's a lot
so
of girls,
they say.
I know these girls, and I roomed with them, so I'm pretty sure they're girls.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's right there, yeah. We picked up our roomies. I don't think Cousin Jean's on Twitter, though.
No, she needs to be, damn it.
Miranda is. And Jerry and Laura is. Uh-huh. So Mark, the incaffeinated one, who beat me out for a parsec.
It's okay.
Son of a
gun. It's okay.
Congratulations, though. He has a pretty good show.
He does. He has a good show.
The Weird Show.
I have picked up some friends on Xbox, though.
Cool.
Oh, rock on.
So from
You had somebody saying that they picked up Soul Calibur.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really neat to say, hey, they heard our review of Soul Calibur and had to run out and get it, and then they added me as a friend, and we've been playing together.
Cool.
So
it's Soul Calibur's a good game. Now have played through all of it with every character in the story mode on easy.
Well, which, normal.
Normal. Yeah,
doesn't
normal.
Sound as bad as easy. See?
Yeah, normal.
Yeah.
tried playing through on hard today and got my ass handed to me most of the time. So, yeah, I've got all this gold, and since I don't play character creation, it just keeps building up. So, I need to get Christina, who's into that kind of thing, to start playing around.
What? And I'm sorry, I was reading the trivia book.
Okay.
They were all the names that people have referred to Angel as, and I was cracking up. I'm sorry. I'll put it down here.
Oh, did you ever talk about your new T-shirt that you had? Did we ever talk about that?
About my shirt?
No.
Hot Topic? It was the weekend before DragonCon. We were having your hats done.
Having
your hats embroidered. And we went into Hot Topic. And I'm the kind of person that I don't get stuff just to get stuff. I wait until something, I have to have it, and then there's no hesitation. So I go into Hot Topic, and Brad holds up a shirt to me that's got Darkwing Duck on it, which I was obsessed with Darkwing Duck for a very long time.
She's a very strange child.
I can hear my mother going, Christina, he's a duck. I know, Mom, but I loved it. Well, I was sold on the shirt, and then he turns it around, and he shows me the back of the shirt, which says, I am the terror that flaps in the night on the back. And, there was no hesitation at all.
She lunged.
Right to the counter. Actually, no, I looked at the socks first, which they had Invader Zim socks.
So she got those, too.
Which are a little bit small. I think they were cut off my circulation yesterday. They're supposed to be knee-high.
But those characters have little tiny limbs, so that's why they have little socks.
Yeah, I wore them to work yesterday. And, I don't have big calves. I have no calves at all. But to get these things up my legs, it was kind of hard. Maybe
she just goes from knee to ankle.
Honestly. I mean, I have no calf muscles whatsoever. But I couldn't get them all the way up my legs. It's like, these are supposed to be knee highs. Holy shit.
They're knee highs to a grasshopper.
And I even looked at the size to make sure they weren't supposed to be for little kids. And like, no, they're supposed to be for women. But I guess they have smaller calves than I have non-calves. Okay. But I wore them. And yeah, I took them off this morning. You should have seen the indentation on my leg. It was funny.
You are a sad, strange little girl. And you have my pity.
But I love Hot. I don't like how they rearranged the Hot Topic store, but I do appreciate that they still carry Invader Zim stuff and stuff from the 80s that makes me happy.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's close out. What?
Huh? Oh, you already talked about your track jacket.
Yeah,
okay,
never mind. Or will.
Sorry.
Depending on how things go on this.
You've mentioned it in recording.
Yes. In this epic recording session.
Oh, my God, I know.
Of course, it's been another month and a half since we recorded.
Jeez. It was a convention and a thing. Mm-hmm. And
moving.
And a moving, yeah. That was pretty important.
But yeah, we want to thank Mark and Stuart for
thank
the
you
swag
so much.
That has shown up.
We're sorry it took so long to thank you.
Yeah, we're a little blame that one on me because I set it off to the side and it got buried under the pile of geek.
And you know what? I saw the international stamp and I thought that's what my autograph came in, so I never picked it up to look at it. I never picked it up
Dr.
to
Donna.
See who it was from. Dr. Donna Friends. I never picked it up to see who it was from. I'm sorry. That's my fault, too. Right. But thank you. We appreciate it very much.
Yes, and thank you, Mark, for the very cool DVDs, which
thank
have
you,
found a very good home on our Brit TV shelf.
Yay!
All right, and we will be back with more of Pod Culture right after this.
Hey guys, this is Brad. This is where we take a little bit of a break. Remember, Pod Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts. and then sent down the podcast feed weekly. So tune in again, same time next week, for another geek-filled episode of Pod Culture.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways, like these email addresses.
You can email any one of us at Brad, Glenn with two N's, Christina, or Adam at podculture.net.
And if you want to reach us the old-fashioned way,
that address would be Pod Culture, P.O. Box 20255, Louisville, Kentucky, 40250-0255.
You can also give us a call on the Pod Culture voicemail line, and that phone number is 1-206-338-3POD. That is 1-206-338-3763.
There are also the official Pod Culture forums and the comments section of each episode, all of which have links at the website www.podculture.net.
So drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3. Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.